I'm at a loss.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I don't know what to say about the price of oil anymore. It's up almost $10 from yesterday, close to $132 a barrel. It looked like it was on the slide. But this morning, one analyst said it might hit $150 by July 4th. He cited rising demand in Asia. But there's also the dollar, speculators, OPEC, supply. I don't know what it is. I just know it's expensive. To make matters worse, the job picture is starting to look pretty ugly. The unemployment rate jumped half a point last month to 5.5%. That's the biggest monthly increase since 1986. Employers cut 50,000 jobs in May. Wall Street is truly bumming. So far, the Dow is down more than a percent, 150 points to 12,454. The NASDAQ is down 25, and the S&P 500 has fallen 11 so far. In Asia, shares finished a bit higher. The European markets are down a fraction so far. Stock option backdating cases aren't usually titillating, except this latest one. The former CEO of Broadcom, it's a computer chip maker, is accused of backdating and costing his company a fortune. But beyond that, what a piece of work this guy is. Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
No one matches the description of high flyer better than Henry Nicholas. According to indictments unsealed yesterday, in 2001, Nicholas smoked so much marijuana during a flight on one of his private jets, the pilot had to put on an oxygen mask. Prosecutors say this Nicholas was no saint. They claim he stashed drugs in a warehouse. Ever think a CEO might have been on drugs when he made a dumb deal? Well, maybe so. Prosecutors accuse Nicholas of slipping drugs into business associates' drinks without their knowledge. University of Richmond law professor Carl Tobias says the prosecutor's drug charges came as a surprise, but
they wanted to have as many charges made against him and hopefully force him to cut a plea deal.
Nicholas's attorney says he's innocent. Nicholas, who was nicknamed Darth Vader because of his competitiveness, is expected to fight the charges. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The world's biggest contemporary art fair is underway in Switzerland. Despite these economic times, the art market is actually doing pretty well. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Art Basel is a scene, but it's also a place to see. There are aisles and aisles of sculpture, painting, and installations that collectors tour in a frenzy. More than 300 galleries participate, and some 60,000 people stop by. Stephanie Smith, with the Lehman Maupin Gallery based in New York, says sales are strong, but the buyers she's seeing are a bit different from art fairs past.
We've noticed less American collectors this year, but we've had a lot of international collectors, Russian, some from Singapore, and, you know, just a broad range internationally.
The gallery's neon collection and works by a Japanese painter and Korean sculptor sold out on day one. Some works brought in record prices, but others can be had for just a few thousand dollars. Art Basel wraps up Sunday. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
We have pictures from the art fair on our website, marketplace.org. Even the rich are defaulting on their mortgages. First, it was Ed McMahon. He's had health problems and hasn't been making payments on his $5 million home. Now, former boxer Evander Holyfield is in foreclosure on his $10 million mortgage. Holyfield's place has 109 rooms, including 17 bathrooms. Wow, that's an earful.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
Tomorrow, the horse named Big Brown will try to make history. He's already won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness.
And they turn for home in the Preakness, and Big Brown has seized the lead and he is pulling away. Big Brown's doing it again. He is disappearing from the field.
Now it's on to the final Triple Crown race, the Belmont. Big Brown is the 2-5 favorite. A Triple Crown would be good for the business of horse racing, but there are other considerations with this horse. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
If Big Brown wins the Belmont Stakes tomorrow, he'll be the first horse in 30 years to win the coveted Triple Crown. But not everyone's excited. Paul Swangard directs the Warsaw Center for Sports Marketing at the University of Oregon.
The underlying theme of some of this horse's baggage has created this sour taste in many people's mouth, where you find people actually rooting against the horse when, in many respects, what the horse has done has been pretty remarkable on the track.
That baggage includes a trainer who's been up for various drug violations, both horse and human, and a majority owner who told tall tales of a successful Wall Street past. Stephen Christ is publisher of Daily Racing Form. He says it's the owner's aggressive business tactics that turn off many fans.
They're planning to leverage their success with this horse into a much vaster fund, which they've likened to a hedge fund. And I think the intrusion of that kind of investment in racing is what's put a few people's noses out of joint.
But some are happy to look at the horse rather than his handlers. Lingering at an off-track betting shop in the middle of the afternoon, this racing fan didn't want to give his name. He said the antics of Big Brown's colourful manager are irrelevant.
He's been suspended. He's had various things happen in his career. But right now he has the horse of a lifetime. And I wish him well.
A horse that, despite being just 3 years old, will only race till the end of this year. After that, Big Brown will focus on siring the next generation of racehorses. His owners have already locked in a return on their investment, regardless of tomorrow's result. A stud farm has paid more than $50 million for his breeding rights. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.